There's no checks, bonds, money orders, promissory notes required in discharging debt. And this is why the people out there that are doing it. Now, there may be some successes that are out there, and even I've had successes with some of the variety of different things that I no longer use that I did use a few years ago. But the point is, what we're looking to do, and again, it's more about attrition. It's more about wearing the other party out and the other party not wanting to deal with you, not wanting to, the lawyer doesn't want to spend 20 times as much brain power learning how they're going to beat you. They'd rather just take on 20 more new clients that are easy to beat, that aren't going to be doing all sorts of legal mumbo jumbo like you are, okay? Attrition, the action or process of gradually reducing the strength or effectiveness of someone or something through sustained attack or pressure. So most lawsuits are won through, or they're battles of attrition. Who is going to keep sustaining the attack and trying to gradually reduce the strength of the other and wear them out? And so sometimes you'll get a success, or there are a variety of other reasons why sometimes something will go through and you'll be able to get a success. Okay, but I'm talking about, how do we shift the consciousness of people that are doing this to get people to do it in a way that it'll work 100% of the time? That's what we want, right? So to do that, HJR 192 works, and this is what we'll explain here. So a 14th Amendment slave citizen who has been granted privileges by the government and does not have rights has been granted freedom and still has a noose around his or her neck, and the government can change the rules on you at any time and set up other restrictions and not even tell you at all what they are. The government can lie, cheat, and steal, or their agents can lie, cheat, and steal from you without punishment. It's not illegal under their codes, right? Doesn't everybody know that cops can lie to you and it's not illegal? But you can't lie to a cop. It is illegal. But that's only because you're their property, and that's what they say in their private codes. What you need to do is not be their property and not be their employee and not have any contracts with them, and you're sovereign and you can reserve your rights, okay? And another thing on reserving rights. Just writing reserving your rights doesn't do much if you're a slave, if you're their property, if you don't assert what your rights specifically are in that instance, in that particular situation, and if you got legal documents in place that you've never discharged, like the birth certificate, that prove that you're their property, and you have to ask special permission to do everything, and that's your legal status according to them and to their courts and to their tax system and all these things, simply writing reserved all rights or UCC 3-that or this-whatever next to your signature doesn't do anything. So that's another thing that we have to enlighten, you know, elevating people's consciousness to understand what they're doing a little bit more. There's no quick remedy, just write reserve your rights next to your name. I mean, it doesn't hurt if you're scared and you're in a situation, and if you are going to be forced to sign something, it doesn't hurt to scribble reserve all rights next to it. And that might be a part of the equation, but without all the other components, it's useless, it doesn't do anything. So as a 14th Amendment slave citizen, you are not in the able to assert your creditor status if you are still assuming the diplomatic and tax status role as the U.S. citizen. A U.S. citizen is a surety for the corporate fiction in contract with the de facto government to form a public trust in legis or straw man, all synonymous, making you, the living man, fully liable as surety for all debts, and your body, property, money, and offspring are collateral for a security agreement. If you default on your debt, you and your money, property, and kids can all be, quote, repossessed. Repossessed and sent to re-education camps. Scary as this sounds, you can break free by becoming a secured party creditor. As scary as this sounds, since it was all done without full disclosure, meeting of the minds, consideration exchange both ways with two adult, competent minds voluntarily contracting, it is all potentially fraud. When you are a minor and incapable of contracting in a sound mind, you can not enter into this contract, especially since it was not done with your best interests in mind. You can at any time declare this contract fraud, but if you fail to do so, it still is valid. So it's up to you to declare this contract fraud. This is why in our other audio, we go over the notification of record document where you're actually declaring and sending a notice to the Secretary of State of your birth date and the state that you live at and a couple of other places that need to know. And you're telling them that this situation with them administering and being a trustee and control over your trust is fraud. And when you tell them that it is fraud, now you have the right to assume the role as a trustee over your all caps name as a secured party creditor. So if you plan to still use the all caps name because you plan on using currency, having a job, registering property, etc., although it's not required to use a birth certificate legal name, but if you're dependent on the Social Security number for a job, their bank accounts to put your money or checks in, registering your property with their system, then you need to come up with some way to explain why you have been and will be still using this name, right? So if you're going to say that this is fraud, you can't just keep using the name without putting certain amendments and notices and documents in place and having sent notice to various different departments thereof. You need to reorganize the all caps trust name and reorganize and take control with your actions. Take control and have that trust meeting and be the trustee over your trust and set the terms and the roles and then kick the government and its agents off as the managing and administering role of your all capital letters trust name. This is the point of having your initial trust meeting, appointing your beneficiaries, sending the beneficiaries notice, and then at the very end, sending the Secretary of State of your birth state, Washington, D.C., who ultimately was your birth certificate was passed up to and was registered through to form the straw man trust, so that you can give them notice to cease and desist and to govern themselves accordingly to your new position as a sovereign. And again, to explain why that this trust is a fictional vehicle that you're using to operate just like a corporation. You're not personally liable, just like how Mark Zuckerberg is not personally liable. You have to sue Facebook directly, and any judge will throw out of court if you try to sue Mark Zuckerberg 99 times out of 100. Obviously, fraud and some certain other things are an exception for certain people who have a claim, but you have to explain why you're using this name still. And so you need to do all these motions in place, and then you can keep using it. Otherwise, you need to completely stop using it. But even not using the name, I'm not going to register any property in my name, no homes, no automobiles, I'm not going to have a job, I'm just going to be paid under the table for everything that I do. I don't need to use the all caps name. That's fine, but there's a concept that it's still taking a benefit to have something on standby, even if you don't use it. Let's say that I pay a cable bill or I pay an internet bill and I don't use it. And a month goes by and I don't use it. And another month goes by and I don't use it. Can I call back the cable company or the internet company and say, hey, I know that you deducted money from my account the last 2 months, but I want it back because I actually never once in that 2 month period hooked up to the internet or turned my TV on. They're going to tell you, fuck you. I can tell you, hey, I don't care if you used it. We provided you with the service of having it available on standby so that you can hit the button and turn on the TV and it would be instantly would be on and be connected whenever you wanted it. And the same thing for the internet. So when you go to court and have a standby counsel attorney, that's a dangerous thing. You don't accept standby attorney because accepting an attorney is a benefit and privilege only provided to United States citizens, not to nationals. So if you're going in there and then they force an attorney on you, or there's a standby attorney, or on any of your documents that says standby counsel, you need to deal with that situation and get that situation resolved and terminate the attorney and get him off out of there. Otherwise, it'll be presumed for all extensive purposes that you are a U.S. citizen when you make those, you know, dealing with that court case and when you make the appearances in court. So even if you don't use the legal name, the fact that it's still there and you haven't either dissolved it entirely, discharged its existence entirely, or at least put these layers of protection in place to give some explanation as to if you were to use it, or the fact that it does exist, why it's there, what it is, what liability it causes you, the man behind the scenes as a trustee, and what liability it doesn't cause you. You need to put these things in place, otherwise you can be liable. So another article that covers this is at understandcontractlawandyouwin.com/constructive-trust-legal-john-henry-doe-trust. I will say it one more time. Another article that covers this a little bit more is understandcontractlawandyouwin.com/constructive-trust-legal-john-henry-doe-trust. Back to asserting rights to discharge, and there is much information online as to a variety of possible misinformation, writing fake bonds, checks, money orders on non-existent bank accounts with various combinations of routing and accounting numbers, in what seems to be a frenzy of desperate broke people making lots of noise, trying to eliminate their debt as quickly as possible. Folks, this is not the way to approach this. This is very delicate circumstances, and you don't want to do anything that's going to get you into trouble. Now, if you have done any of these financial instruments or things that you now realize might get you into trouble, and you can, in my status correction course, I have dozens and dozens of cases, and you can read all the cases of all the people who've gotten in trouble for signing and filing all these financial instruments. And so if you sign up for the status correction course, we actually read the court cases on video, and I point out certain things of what they did that got them into trouble and where they crossed the line that got them, you know, arrested. Because, I mean, some of these things, they can just float around out there and they don't really raise anybody's eyebrows because there's a lot of people doing them. So if you want some training on that and my experience for several years watching people get in trouble or not get in trouble for these variety of these things, I would just stay away from it. But if you happen to have gotten involved with it already, I'd be happy to, you know, give you some of the overview training. And there are some ways that you can rescind your signature on these documents and have them not be able to be brought up in the future. Okay. So many have gone to jail doing these financial instrument documents, or have had court cases pending right now where they are facing jail time. Winston Shrout, Brandon Adams, Gordon Hall, from Creditors and Commerce are some, but definitely not all. Tim Turner is yet another. Many of these people have tried to pay their tax, or some of these people have tried to pay their tax debt with their own, quote, money orders, and couple that on top of not filing tax returns and earning income for those years that was deposited into their Social Security number bank account, or that actually I think Winston Shrout got Social Security paychecks and deposited them into his bank account for those years, and then he never paid taxes for 6 years on all those deposits. So you can see why, you know, the hypocrisy and how people can get into a little bit of trouble from doing that. So others try to pay or discharge their debts with promissory notes, which does not make any sense to me, because any note with a fake promise is not legitimate. So this is another reason why it's not legitimate. Fake promise, if you do not intend to actually deliver on it, then it's just a worthless piece of paper. In order for a contract to be valid, there needs to be intent and performance. Besides, why do you need to, quote, pay anything if you already have credit on account that you can use to set off? We have covered this almost ad nauseum in our other materials in the status correction course and in our free audios and elsewhere, explain exactly why these other processes do not work and are possibly very dangerous. Now, there may not actually be, quote, credit, quote, what you think of as the term credit, because the government overborrows money it doesn't have. So in 1933, when they took the people's property, I doubt that they actually either have the actual physical property or that they have the cash, you know, the value sitting in an account in U.S. dollars anywhere, as they did not sell this to cash it in order to hold and create literal bank accounts to just sit there for you, okay? So they may not have accounts with large amounts of units of currency and dollars in there. However, they do have an obligation to allow us to discharge our debts. And if you want to ask if there is, quote, credit for your name in order to discharge, then yes, in a sense, you do have, quote, credit in the same way that you can maybe walk into your friend's deli and he'll give you a free lunch anytime that you want because you've done a lot of things for him in the past. You know, you saved his ass when he was in trouble, and now you can walk into his restaurant or into his deli and you can, you know, just remind the, you know, you can go up and he won't charge you. You got credit. But does that mean that there's actually liquidated funds of U.S. currency or any other currency in a bank account with a ton of zeros at the end? No. So this is a tough question when people ask me, is there credit in an account for me? The answer is no, but then the answer is yes. It depends on what your definition of credit is. But they do have an obligation to allow us to discharge our debts. And so in that sense, you do have, quote, credit. From our point of view, based on consistent experience and success, the way to discharge a student loan successfully or other debts that you can discharge like credit cards and etc. is to become a secured party creditor and then to assert the right to discharge. What do you do when you walk into your friend's restaurant and he, you know, you saved his leg from being chopped off, so every time you go in there he gives you, you know, he lets you order whatever food you want for free. What do you do in order to do it? You don't write him a fake bond. You don't write him a fake money order. You don't try to put accounting and routing numbers on a piece of paper that you printed out of your home computer or on a piece of loose leaf paper. All you do is you know, if he doesn't just automatically help you, you just assert the right. You say, hey, I'm asserting my right. You just say, hey, I helped you out in the past. You're still buying me. I haven't came in here in a while, or I haven't done this yet, you know. But you told me a few years back that you would help me out and I would get free lunch anytime I wanted free lunch. I'm asserting that right now. And then he's going to say, oh, okay, yeah, not a problem. Because the thing is that you've never asserted these rights before to discharge. So you have to really remind and lay it all out on the table and assert it. So in order to do that, you must be in the status of one of we the people as a national of the United States of America, because the Secretary of Treasury and them, when you send your discharge paperwork, they're going to check and they're going to look and they're going to see what type of status you have. So you must not be one of the corporate citizens of the corporate United States, all capital letters, of America. To understand the difference between the all capital letters United States of America and being a national of one of the United States of America, upper and lowercase, you need to read the free PDF online called Cooperative Federalism. I will say that again. It's called Cooperative Federalism. It's a free PDF online and you can just Google it and study that. It's a very well thought-provoking, thorough, you know, eye-opening read about what the difference is between the United States of America caps and the United States of America lowercase. So if you're going to discharge a student loan, you will never be able, okay, back kind of onto back onto the what was the original topic, and we went on a lot of educational tangents here leading up to this, but I will give you some disclaimers. If you are going to discharge a student loan, you will never be able to get any benefits from the federal government ever again. No more student loans ever again. If you plan on going back to school, this could make a big difference for you in your decision. So no more federal, if you're discharging a federal student loan, no more federal student loans again. No more unemployment, no more federal aid of any kind, etc. If you read the Supreme Court case, Hale versus Henkel, you will see that you give up your freedom and sovereignty when you take a federal benefit anyway. So this is why most of my clients who are on this educational path and have gotten this far have already either phased out or are phasing out and refusing to accept any federal benefits of any kind anyway in order to get themselves back to being a sovereign. Some go as far as to not choosing not to vote, removing themselves from the voter rolls, removing themselves from driver's license rolls, and not taking any perceived, quote, benefit at all. As far as you'd like to go is up to you, and you can get the right information upon doing your own diligence, fact-checking, or setting up a consultation and talking with our experts at Understand Contract Law, and you win. It's also possible, although I cannot confirm any stats until I see this play out for the long term, but it is certainly possible that you will not be able to get a federally insured mortgage loan to buy a home. And since almost all mortgages through financial institutions, and I mean, you can take out a private mortgage, but financial institutions that issue mortgages today are almost all FDIC insured. So you may be blacklisted with them also. I can't say that for sure that that's going to happen, but it's possible, and it's something to take under consideration. If you were going to take out a mortgage through a financial institution, you might as well do it beforehand, before you discharge a federal debt, like a federal court case or a federal student loan, because it's possible that they could deny you. It's also possible that they just won't update their records and put a black dot next to your name saying don't give any, you know, federal loans to, but don't allow any loans that have federal involvement with them. So it's possible that they could overlook it. It's possible that they do it. I don't know for sure. And over the long term, it's possible that we'll get more data in the field, but it's something to take into consideration. It is safe to also say that if you are an employee or contractor with a certain financial institution or the federal government, and you wish to discharge a debt with the same financial institution that is your employer, you may wind up finding yourself fired or terminated from your job. The bottom line here is that you can't have your cake and eat it too, and you can't bite the hand that feeds you. I'm sure you've heard these concepts over the course of your life from someone somewhere several times here and there, and maybe you've even given this advice to your kids or grandkids or friends of yours as well. But these are things that we should all already know at this stage in the evolution of our life and our consciousness. Of course you can't get a free lunch. This is why people say this, and this phrase has stuck with us for so many, you know, I don't know who invented that or how long that's been around for. It'd be a pretty fun thing to Google and find out what year someone came up with that, but it's so true in this field. You cannot get a free lunch, and you can't bite the hand that feeds you. So there are several other websites selling similar things, claiming to discharge, claiming to secured party creditor, blah, blah, blah. And one of the things that you may wish to look at is that the promises that people make of what they can and can't do versus the disclaimers. I am big on disclaimers. I am very, very big on making sure that people don't make the wrong decision and do something without knowing all of the disclaimers. If you're planning on becoming a secured party creditor, you also can't work for the federal government. You can't be in the active military. You can't be in the police. It could cause a significant problem, not just termination of employment, but there could be some other problems too as well. The most severe might be if you're in the military and you try to become a secured party creditor. If they find out about that, they can certainly court-martial you and put you in jail. So you know, make sure that you are not working for the party that you're, you know, saying that you don't want to be a part of anymore. Because if you are working for them and then you sign all these affidavits saying that they suck and you don't want to be a part of them anymore and you want to be free and independent, but you're getting a paycheck from them and or you have a major obligation to them like you signed up for the military, you want to wait until you're officially out of the military and officially discharged. Or you could, if the only time it would be possibly, the only time it would be relevant is if you wanted to get out of the military or out of the army or out of the Navy, if you didn't want to be sent back to Iraq and be put into harm's way and you did not agree with the war over there, well, certainly you can become a secured party and you can discharge the you could discharge your military service obligation contract, okay? But just be aware that that's something that you would need to do back to back in order to cancel everything and walk away, you know, scot-free and have a discharge from the military and have them not wanting anything to do with you anymore and letting you go off on your way and sending you a discharge notice. That is possible. We've done that before, but I would not recommend for people who are in the military to get to become a secured party creditor until after they're out, unless they're looking to get out. And I would not recommend people that work for Bank of America to discharge a Bank of America debt. I would not look for people, or I would not recommend that people who want to obtain a federal student loan again to be discharging their current federal student loan. And especially if you're not done with school yet and you still have disbursements that need to come out to pay the rest of your schooling and the rest of your tuition for next semester, if everything is not paid for yet, then you absolutely cannot discharge that, because then that's it. The contract is terminated. You're not going to be able to have those payments and disbursements to continue to finish your schooling. We find that more and more people, after being burned and jumping around from different speakers and workshops or websites, come to UCL and are happy and with a sigh of relief and a breath of fresh air, because they report that they see, sense, and feel that we are comparatively a superbly high company of integrity and transparency, and we live by the motto, at first, do no harm, whereas others tend to overlook this. Very important detail. I, for one, would rather maintain a positive, ongoing, long-term relationship with my clients by cautioning people in the beginning, people respecting my caution and disclaimers, and have many people choose perhaps not to do the processes. Perhaps I don't, you know, make as much money on that, but possibly they go later on and refer someone out of appreciation for our honesty and our disclosure, or possibly hold off for a while and then get involved with us months or years later in the future when they are ready. Sadly, I wish to give you notice and beware of others in the marketplace who do not take these concerns into consideration on behalf of their clients. If your first choice was to find us, then obviously you are pulsating the right frequency from your vibrational intentional antenna right out of the bat, and congratulations for you. So just to make sure that you are okay with the above disclaimers, and if you have any other clarifications, then please contact us and we will talk about your student loan discharge process. You can first go to www.whatisasecuredparty.com, read that whole document, fill out the application on the bottom. It'll ask you to attach your student loan documents, and we can talk to you about a price quote on your student loan discharge. Please be aware that you're going to need to become a secured party creditor first if you're not already. The last thing we want is for someone to discharge their debt and then get, okay, that's overkill. We already talked about that. Talking about, I don't want people to get fired from the company. If you work for the Department of Education, you know, don't discharge your own Department of Education debts. So anyways, all those disclaimers aside, if you have questions about that, oh, I work for this or I work for that, just call us. We don't charge. We'll answer those questions for you so that you can kind of, you know, plan. So again, I need to emphasize that to do the debt discharge process, you need to first become a secured party creditor, and this involves waiving and reclarifying that you are a citizen of your state republic, such as California Republic, and not the all capital letters United States of America. Please read the free PDF that you can Google and find on the internet called Cooperative Federalism for the most thorough and factual and historical and accurate basis on the difference between being a state or private citizen and a United States citizen. Also, please study what it says in the United States Code and what the definition of being considered a United States citizen is. I suggest you do a Google search as well for, quote, what is the definition of United States citizen, and see where your journey takes you. Specifically, the U.S. I have a law.cornell.edu/US code/text/8/1401 is a link that explains just that, but you can find it just from doing the Google search. There are several other websites that may assist you in emphasizing and interpreting the definition of United States citizen as well. Some of them that I found are notapersonorcitizen.blogspot.com, freedom-school.com, famguardian.org, and sedm.org. These other websites will also assist you in seeing the conclusions that I have drawn, which is that you are not a U.S. citizen unless you wish to make that declaration, and that you can also declare at any time that you are not a U.S. citizen. There are serious ramifications to taking the plunge and officially declaring to the entire world and to your what was your government that you are not longer their subjects, property, or slave any longer. This is way larger than wanting to just save money and discharge a credit card or a student loan. And so I do not routinely accept clients who are looking merely to do this to eliminate their debt only. I only accept clients who wish to do this to become sovereign, to take control over their own trust in as a secured party creditor, because that is what they truly wish to do, to be able to govern themselves in their own lives and be independent for themselves. And I only work with people who truly believe and know that they are not United States citizens and who wish to move the rest of their life to that entire lifestyle of understanding or overstanding and living out these legal concepts in complete congruency with who they are and the declarations that they're about to make on paper. In other words, I'm not going to allow you to make declarations on paper saying that you're one thing and then you didn't really believe in it and you only signed the documents because you're trying to eliminate this debt that you have. It's a lot more, you know, significant process than that, and I don't work with people that do it like that. However, if you have deemed that you truly wish to become a secured party creditor, and then you do want to do a discharge of a student loan or any other debt that is applicable to be discharged as a bonus or advantage as part of the whole lifestyle package, then that is fine, and I'd love to help you to get some of your debts eliminated, absolutely. And I look forward, you know, like-minded people that understand the U.S. citizen and the trap and the birth certificate, you know, really become lifelong friends. So there's lots in a larger auspices of a potentially mutually beneficial relationship that can come out of it. But hey, I'm all for banging out and getting your student loan debt or whatever debt eliminated, you know, pretty swiftly there if that's something that's been on your to-do list, something that you've been looking to see if there's a solution for, something that would provide you with a lot of relief, or something that is a timely matter, or not a timely matter, but just something you want to see done, you want to see if this works, then I absolutely would love to work with you.